We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Breaks a tackle, watch out! Burst of speed! Look at this freshman!
Welcome to the home of professional football, Canton, Ohio.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the College to Canton podcast, the perfect show for any and every college football and NFL fan. I'm your host, Travis May, and you can find me on Twitter at FF_TravisM if you want to talk some college football or NFL or fantasy football. And if you want to find my co-host who drops a show later in the week, every week here, Stefan Lako is at Stefan Lako. That's LAKO. On Twitter. And if you're joining us on the show for the first time, the College to Canton podcast is a show about the journey of the best football players from being a college football recruit to college football through the NFL draft through their entire career and all the way to the debate as to whether they should be in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. And we always talk some fantasy football since this is a RotoViz radio podcast, but we always make sure to dive into some real college football and NFL analysis too while we're at it. If you've been following along, we've been kind of going back and forth between college football early in the week, NFL later in the week. But after the seasons start here, respectively, we'll kind of mix it up and go back and forth, get into some future NFL draft stuff, and kind of have some crossover shows with myself and Stefan both together. But on today's show, I just want to tackle one particular thing, because, you know, sometimes I tackle, you know, several different players. I'm sure you guys need like a notepad and several with several sheets to kind of keep track of all the names that I might be talking about. But today, I just want to tackle one topic because I think I've seen tons of conversation really over the years, but here recently especially, about the impact of mobile quarterbacks and what the future of the NFL looks like and what now, like right now, looks like in terms of mobile quarterbacks. I mean, for fantasy football, we've had the Konami code for a while, thanks to Retriebar, who kind of put that together and kind of talked about the importance of finding and taking advantage of quarterbacks that can add rushing yards on the ground, because that gives you such an advantage in fantasy football. But even just from a real football standpoint, the NFL has been telling us for quite some time that they've been transitioning to quarterbacks that are more mobile, not just the statues that we saw dominate the NFL for so long. I mean, in the 90s and really early 2000s, we were still seeing guys like Peyton Manning and Tom Brady and Big Ben and Philip Rivers and Eli Manning, who I guess kind of was mobile for a few throws in his career. But, you know, the statues, even as recent as, you know, guys like Matt Ryan or even Kirk Cousins, guys that weren't exactly mobile, even in college, where it's easier to be so, when they got to the pros, didn't really add that element to their game. But now, thanks to guys like Lamar Jackson, thanks to guys even well before that, like Michael Vick and Cam Newton and Colin Kaepernick for a little bit there, we've seen this new age of quarterback and what it means to play the position. And now more and more teams are basically requiring that. If you want to play the quarterback position, you have to be able to threaten with your legs. And when I say mobile quarterback, I'm not actually just saying, you know, Lamar Jackson. I'm not just talking about the wrecking ball that was Cam Newton in his early career. You know, because there's only one Lamar Jackson. There's only one Cam Newton. I'm actually just talking about quarterbacks that can move and contribute with their legs. I mean, that includes guys like Dak Prescott. That includes guys like Justin Herbert, Patrick Mahomes, guys that you wouldn't think, oh, they're run first guys. And that's not what I mean. I'm not saying run first quarterbacks are the future of the NFL, because you're still going to have to be an absolutely precise, accurate, good decision-making kind of passer to succeed in the NFL. That's never going to change, especially in today's game where it's so pass-happy and so pass-first at this point, really. But what I am saying is that you have to be able to contribute with your legs. You have to be able to do that. And not just for a fantasy football standpoint where it makes sense, because even the decent guys that consistently contribute outside of a few examples are getting like 200 plus, 300 plus rushing yards per season at this point. Basically all the top fantasy football options are doing that at the position. But especially from a prospecting standpoint, looking at the NFL draft standpoint, looking ahead to the future, the NFL for the past 5 to 6 drafts has been telling us we don't care about quarterbacks that cannot add rushing yards on the ground. If you can't even, you know, if you're a liability in that aspect, you can just stay away. And it took me a while to really realize that. It took me a while to kind of be able to prove that in my own analysis. And it was kind of by accident that I realized, holy cow, the NFL is not just trending towards mobile quarterbacks. They're absolutely done with statues. And how I came across this was I was actually building a quarterback production predictive model that was trying to predict draft capital better than, you know, some of the methods that we have already used at RotoViz and have used when building draft guides and things like that. And so basically I looked at adjusted yards per pass attempt, which is already something that exists. And I adjusted for a few different schematic variables and built a look at adjusted yards per pass attempt over expectation, and basically building a model to tell you how efficient a quarterback is over their expectation, given a few schematic variables like play action percentage. And what I found is that it predicted capital better than anything I was able to find. And so that's great, and it's good to be an efficient passer, but what you'll find now in today's college game is that there are a billion efficient passers, like up and down the line at all levels of play, because offenses have gotten so good, have gotten so creative at creating opportunities and easy schemed open players, especially at the college level where defenses just aren't as good, aren't as stacked with incredible athletes, that it's really hard to sift through which quarterbacks are really good by the numbers. And the thing is, I'm not just a numbers guy. I know I love studying film. I love going through several games of every single prospect when they come into the league to get a better idea of what they succeed in, how they're going to win at the next level. But I really like to mix film with analytics. I think that's the best way to approach things. But within this model, I was just looking at the numbers, and it's tough to sift through all these efficient quarterbacks because there's all these guys that are averaging, you know, above 10 adjusted yards per attempt these days. Like, there's seriously, like in the last 5 years, there's like over 50 guys who have logged a season with over 10 adjusted yards per pass attempt. And 10 years ago, that list was like 2 or 3 guys, maybe. College football passers are just more efficient than ever. So it's going to be harder to differentiate, right? And so I wanted to add one layer to it because we all know that the NFL has been trending towards mobile quarterbacks. And so I just wanted to find the most impactful variable on the ground at predicting both draft capital and fantasy points. I looked at a few different ways to measure rushing production and found that, you know, raw rushing totals doesn't really mean much. But I did find that the adjusted peak rushing yard market share, which is a mouthful, but it's essentially just the per game percentage of a quarterback's rushing contribution within the scale of their offense. Like what percentage of their offense did they account for on the ground in their peak passing efficient season? And anecdotally, it made sense, but it also gave me the most signal in terms of predicting future fantasy points and future capital. If I looked at their peak passing efficiency season and then mixing that with the rushing production that they had that year. Because if you can be both effective through the air, efficient through the air, and adding value on the ground together at once in your peak point of development in college, that both statistically and anecdotally makes sense that you would probably be able to find some success at the next level. And as I was digging through the numbers, I was just blown away at how little draft capital was invested in quarterbacks that couldn't bring something on the ground. And I've said this on the podcast in passing and in recent years, but from 2017 to 2021, we've only seen one college passer get drafted in the first round that couldn't eclipse even 0 rushing yards in their peak passing efficient season. And that quarterback was Josh Rosen. He was the only one out of the, I believe, 20 quarterbacks or so that were selected in round one since 2017 to absolutely fail as a rusher, just to be an absolute liability. And if you're unfamiliar with how college rushing works, they add the sack yards against you. So if you take a sack for 10 yards, you have to rush 10 more yards to just break even on your rushing yards. And so you see guys all over the place actually finish their career with sometimes several hundred negative rushing yards. And Josh Rosen was one of those guys, but he was the only one that got first round capital. And most every other first round passer that we saw drafted got not only, positive rushing yards, but they also got like at least 5% of their team's rushing yards. And so I was like, okay, I wonder what happens if I test this and see like how this, leads to future fantasy points. And so what I was able to find is that when you mix that peak passing efficiency with the adjusted yards over expected and the rushing yard market share, just using like a super low threshold, like only accounting for, let's say, 5% of your team's rushing yards in your peak season in college, that led to not only capital, but kind of being a point of delineation, a minimum to look at for projecting NFL success. So without boring you with the R-squared values and things like that from my statistical testing, just looking at that, the average fantasy point output out of guys since like 2016, guys that both hit the 90th percentile mark and 5% or better rushing yard market share, like if we just look at the guys who at the very top of the list who have all posted at least 300 fantasy points per season that out of the guys drafted since 2016, you're looking at guys like Justin Herbert, Kyler Murray, Deshaun Watson, Lamar Jackson, Patrick Mahomes, Dak Prescott. The guys that hit the 90th percentile or better as being an efficient passer and at least 5% rushing yard market share. And among those guys, six out of the seven guys that have averaged over 300 fantasy points in their career, six out of seven actually had more than 10% of their team's rushing yards in their peak passing efficient season in college too. So really, if you're looking for the elite producers, the true Konami code guys that are going to both produce as a passer and, get 200, 300, maybe even more than that rushing yards on the ground, you're looking for guys that eclipse well above even 15% of their team's rushing yards in their final season. And if you look at some of the other guys that failed to get capital or even failed to reach 0% of their team's rushing yards in college or even failed to reach the 5% mark, you get other guys just a little bit further back like Jared Goff. He's basically the only guy that has had consistent success, I guess, quote unquote. But he was kind of – his team was tired of him and they moved on and traded him away. And then you get guys like Drew Locke, who he was, I think, 4% at his peak. He's kind of failed to hold down his job. He's still, even as of this recording, not even locked in the starting job this year. You get other guys like Dwayne Haskins, who was a first rounder, but he flamed out. I already mentioned Josh Rosen. Even some day two guys like Mason Rudolph. He's another guy who has seen some action, but has obviously flamed out and be mobile enough to stick in the NFL. But what I found that was interesting about this year's incoming rookie class was that four out of the five first round guys hit the thresholds we want to see, like Trevor Lawrence, Justin Fields, Zach Wilson, and Trey Lance, if we count his FCS numbers. All of them accounted for at least 10% of their team's rushing yards, and all of them posted at least one, if not two, seasons of 90th percentile pass efficiency or better. So that combination was incredibly deadly in terms of predicting draft capital this year. And every single quarterback drafted actually posted at least an 80th percentile or better season from a passing efficiency standpoint. And almost all of them that were drafted this year were mobile. One of the exceptions, though, that is going to be, debated and has already been so in recent weeks is Mac Jones, now with the Patriots. Because he basically, I think by most people's standards, he looks more like a statue, right? He's not incredibly mobile. He's not going to probably give you 400, 500 rushing yards at any point in his NFL career, let alone even something like 200 or 300 like Dak Prescott and Patrick Mahomes have been doing in their short NFL careers. So does that mean he can't succeed? That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that that recent history would tell us that he doesn't have the highest chance to hit. And not only that, 14 teams saw Mac Jones put up two, back-to-back seasons of 90th percentile pass efficiency or better and just dominate college football, win the national championship, and just go, eh, I like this guy more. And not only that, at the same position, but just go, eh, I don't really need that quarterback. Because the NFL as a whole is moving away from immobile quarterbacks. Now, I'm not saying that the Patriots can't build something around him and he have some real NFL success, but I am saying that I'm very uninterested from a fantasy football perspective with Mac Jones. And if he does succeed, he's probably going to be the only outlier that succeeds that is immobile. If we just look at recent history, the NFL is moving away from that kind of player. So how, though, I know I've had some people ask me, what about Tom Brady? What about Kirk Cousins? What about Matt Ryan? Some of the guys I've already mentioned. What about Matt Stafford? Like, they're not really super mobile guys. You just mentioned Jared Goff. He's still in the league. Well, there's at some point, without digging too far into the numbers and talking about how insufficient a small sample is with the number of quarterbacks that we're talking about that have been successful and were immobile. Just anecdotally, simply put, like at some point, the NFL looked different than it does today. Not even like 5 to 6 years ago, the NFL looked slightly different in terms of how they used quarterbacks across the board than it does today. And all these quarterbacks that we mentioned, the older guys like Kirk Cousins and Matty Ice and Matthew Stafford and Tom Brady and Big Ben, all those guys at some point had a bunch of experience in a completely different era of football. And it sounds weird to call it a different era, just like, you know, 10 years ago or maybe more than that for some of these guys. But it really was in terms of what we expected quarterbacks to do. And that experience outweighed the fact that they were immobile. Like they have enough NFL experience that is just irreplaceable, that they're going to find a way to succeed because they've been doing so for so long. But even some of the guys that aren't super mobile have learned how to add some on the ground. Like Jared Goff was an absolute statue at California in college, but he's figured out that he has to add, you know, 60 to 100 rushing yards and just be able to scramble a little bit every single season. Stafford the same way. Matty Ice has actually been averaging over 100 yards on the ground, I think, in recent seasons. They're adding something with their legs. They're being used a little bit more than they were in past seasons. So they're having to flex and make it work a little bit. They just can't really do it like the modern young passers all around them. But what does this mean now, I guess, as we look at future classes? I'll dive into that on the other side here.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
I just want to take a second to thank you for tuning in to today's show. My name is Colin Kelly, co-host of the Road of His Overtime podcast, along with the great Sean Siegel. We do appreciate each and every listener, and as a thank you to each of you, you can get yourself a 10% discount to a Road of His NFL pass. We're heading at full speed towards the season. Make sure you're ready. Get yourself access to all the content and tools up on the Road of His website. All you have to do is add the code RVRadio2021 at checkout to get yourself that 10% discount. Now let's go and dominate those fantasy leagues in 2021.
So I've talked about, you know, my model and what I found in terms of predicting, you know, future success in the NFL, getting draft capital. I mean, we could go down the line and just look at the draft capital from recent classes and see that it means a ton that a quarterback is both efficient through the air and add some rushing totals while we're at it. I mean, like looking at Joe Burrow, he accounted for 15% of LSU's rushing yards, believe it or not, in his peak crazy season. Kyler Murray, he accounted for 28% of his team's rushing yards in his peak season. And both of them, by the way, had above the 99th percentile passing efficiency marks in their peak season in college too. Baker Mayfield, 99th percentile efficiency passer. And even he, though we don't necessarily consider him a dual threat in the NFL, he actually posted 10% of Oklahoma's rushing yards in his peak passing efficiency season. Trevor Lawrence, he posted three seasons of 90th percentile or better passing efficiency numbers. Three. The only quarterback that I have on any of my numbers and anything in the modern era that posted three seasons of 90th percentile passing numbers or better and peaked at around the 15% mark in rushing efficiency in rushing yards for Clemson. And you could go down the line of like all the top 10 picks. And like I mentioned already, the only one in recent history that didn't post a decent rushing total was Josh Rosen. Every other top 10 pick posted at least 6% of their team's rushing yards in their peak passing efficiency season. And if you guys like Mac Jones, Dwayne Haskins, other guys like Jordan Love, you know, they still got first round capital after not contributing at all as a rusher, but they were later first round picks. So again, the NFL is going away from guys that can't prove it on the ground. And the guys that actually hit and produce at an elite level and hit that like 300 or more fantasy points per season mark, all of them, every single one, post at least 5%, if not more than 10 or 15% of their team's rushing yards in their peak passing efficiency season in college. But what does this mean for future generations? I mean, I kind of already hinted at the fact that there are crazy amounts of efficient passers in college, and so it really is tough to sift through. But it means that guys that we actually like, guys that we think might be good in the NFL, guys that I think, Devy fantasy football nerds like myself have touted in recent years, like Keaton Slovis and even like JT Daniels or guys that others like. I mean, I'm not as high as on him, but Carson Strong, he's somebody who's projected to be drafted pretty early next year. Like guys like that, we might have to question whether or not teams are going to value them the same as guys who can add some on the ground. Because Keaton Slovis, his peak, his best season, he accounted for seriously negative 4% of USC's rushing yards. Carson Strong, even in his really good season last year, he accounted for negative 8.5% of Nevada's rushing yards in the Mountain West. That is horrible. If you can't outmaneuver and get out of the way of Mountain West defenders, that's a problem. JT Daniels, you know, he's facing some tough competition in the SEC, but negative 10% rushing yards for Georgia, he proved to be an absolute liability on the ground last year, taking way too many sacks and proving that he can't add virtually any value as a rusher. So I am concerned with guys like that that might have a 90th percentile or better passing efficiency season, or maybe even two after this fall, but it's going to be tough to project much draft capital for them because the NFL has shown they're absolutely done with that kind of ineffective rusher. And so regardless of how good an arm you might have and regardless of how far you can throw and whatever, you're going to need to add some value. You're going to need to clean that up in your final season, guys, if you want to get draft capital. Now, this theory might be proven wrong next year because, you know, there aren't any Trevor Lawrences or Justin Fields types that have near perfect profiles and pedigree just across the board. And so we might have teams reaching for a few guys that aren't perfect mobile specimens. They might sneak into late round one next year, but it will be interesting to see because there are probably right now about 20 quarterbacks with decent enough passing profiles to get drafted next year. I didn't dive into this too much, but really at bare minimum to get drafted, if you look at the last five drafts and the last 54 quarterbacks drafted that were from Division I, you know, FBS football, it's really important to be at least above the 80th percentile in terms of passing efficiency. But when you mix it in with just even zero rushing yards or better, you're looking at guys getting drafted, with an 80th percentile or better passing profile and zero rushing yards or better. Like that's 33 of the last 40 quarterbacks when you mix those together. And just looking at passing efficiency, like that minimum 80th percentile threshold, like it's 41 of 54 drafted quarterbacks in the last 5 years from Division I schools. And so you absolutely have to have an 80th percentile passing efficiency season or better, or else the NFL is probably not interested just from a number standpoint. But there are well over 20 that hit that 80th percentile mark in college football already. And that's assuming none of them actually improve this fall. So we're going to see a ton of guys who meet the minimum thresholds for passing efficiency, ton of guys that also meet the minimum thresholds for rushing too. But who are the guys that meet both, right? Because I went over some of those names already, but guys like Spencer Rattler already hits both thresholds that we want to see, and he'll definitely coast easily well above the 90th percentile in passing efficiency this fall. And actually, believe it or not, he's not considered a dual threat by most and or a mobile quarterback, but even he actually posted 8% of the rushing yards for Oklahoma last year. And guys like Sam Howell, another top name North Carolina quarterback, he easily coasted above the 90th percentile as a passing efficiency guy, but even he did post just over 5% of the rushing yards for North Carolina, even sharing the rushing numbers with Javonte Williams and Michael Carter. So it doesn't really take a whole lot of mobility to eclipse that 5% mark, but that's really what we find is the first meaningful or predictive statistical threshold that you need to hit, and he's already there. And this year, he's probably going to eclipse that even more because they're replacing so much rushing production from a year ago with Javonte Williams and Michael Carter being in the NFL. So Sam Howell and Spencer Rattler, the favorite to be the one and the two next year, both meet both of those thresholds already. And it's funny that just, you know, the guys who love the film, the guys that love the analytics will already tell you those two guys are the easiest picks next year. Another name, depending on how the program goes this year, and Jaden Daniels. He also meets both of those minimum thresholds. What's weird about him, though, is he's super scrawny. So I'm not sure if what the NFL is going to do with him weighing, you know, somewhere around 180 pounds or something like that, 190 pounds, like not even 200 pounds at this point still. But he actually, as a true freshman, posted passing efficiency marks above the 90th percentile and accounted for nearly a quarter of the rushing yards for Arizona State. Wasn't as perfect last year in a smaller sample, and the team was kind of struggling with a whole lot of things amidst the pandemic year. But if he bounces back this year, Jaden Daniels could easily be in line for at least day two capital, if not first round capital, given what we know is important to NFL decision makers. He's proven he can be mobile. He's proven he can be efficient as a passer. That's definitely another name to know that I feel like has not been getting as much hype, you know, as guys like Malik Willis or Carson Strong or even like JT Daniels or other names like that. But he's a guy that plays for a big time program and meets both meaningful thresholds as well. But I mentioned just in passing Malik Willis because he's a guy that seriously accounted for just shy of 40% of his team's rushing yards last fall. But the thing is, he had a good passing efficiency year, but he was actually only around the 72nd percentile. So he's going to have to improve. He's going to have to minimize the interceptions. He's going to have to show off that arm strength a little bit more. But again, he's going to have a pretty weak schedule to do it against. So he could absolutely have a slam dunk season. Most people have him as the clear 1.01 top pick in college fantasy football leagues for good reason. So if he improves his passing efficiency whatsoever, you mix that raw arm strength that he puts on display at least once or twice a game, just launching it cross field way down the field, just 60 yards in the air. You mix that arm strength with the mobility, and then if he shows he can be a good decision maker, shows he can be an efficient passer, even more so than last year, he's probably going to be a guy that gets capital as well. But I hope that helps kind of frame what I mean when I say mobile quarterback a little bit these days, because mobile quarterback, again, doesn't mean just Lamar Jackson, doesn't mean just Kyler Murray or Cam Newton or whatever it is. It's not just these guys that quote-unquote get labeled as run-first options. It just means that the NFL requires their quarterbacks almost across the board to be able to maneuver the pocket, not only just maneuver the pocket, but add some value with their legs, be a dual threat. The defense has to trust that the quarterback can threaten with their legs in today's NFL. And so once we see guys like Tom Brady, Big Ben, Matty Ice, Matthew Stafford, and Kirk Cousins. Kirk Cousins is probably maybe the youngest one out of the whole bunch. Like, I guess we could call it the Kirk Cousins line. As soon as Kirk Cousins is out of the league, we're essentially going to see zero immobile quarterbacks, as I like to label them, find success in the NFL for fantasy football purposes, and maybe even just at all for real football purposes. I'm not saying that Mac Jones can't hit, because I like him a lot, and he has two seasons, like I mentioned, of 90th percentile pass efficiency, as well as, you know, several other accolades. But I think Mac Jones could succeed. But if he does, he will kind of be an outlier in today's game. And this will continue to shift and shape as we go along and get more data on what the NFL does with these quarterbacks that add literally nothing or are an actual liability in the run game. Next year might be a very telling class, as there are several guys that apparently have cement blocks for feet that are coming into NFL draft consideration. But the NFL looks like, as of today, that they are completely done with statues and they're moving towards mobile quarterbacks. And there's no debate as to that fact. But I think where we, with fantasy football, kind of get into arguments with each other is because there's just a misunderstanding of what it means to be a mobile quarterback. And don't hear me saying, again, that passing efficiency doesn't matter or accuracy doesn't matter and rushing is more important than that. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that rushing is important, and it is important to pair with extreme peak pass efficiency. And the NFL has told us in recent classes, like I've kind of outlined today, that both are immensely important. And what we've seen in recent years in terms of actually hitting in the NFL and being successful in fantasy football and real football, both are incredibly important. So as you're doing draft prep this year for fantasy football drafts, just ignore the statues. Several people have covered this before, but you're not going to have a super high upside dealing with a statue quarterback, unless you're talking about maybe Tom Brady if he throws another 40 plus touchdowns. And even then, he's probably capped at QB7. But even beyond this year, as you're doing your 2022, 2023, 2024 NFL draft prep, digging into Devy fantasy football, whatever you like to do, just know that NFL doesn't care for your statue quarterbacks. So maybe give them a second look and consider somebody with some more rushing upside to go with their passing efficiency when you're drafting for fantasy football here in the future. Stefan will be here with an NFL episode this week. College football is kicking off this weekend with week zero action, and we're just about to get into real college football and just about to get into real NFL. So I hope you guys are all enjoying the start of football season, and we'll see you next time on another College to Canton podcast.